You would open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 5, verses 3, 4, and 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 3, 4, and 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I would invite you to kneel with me as we pray this morning. Good morning, Father. It's a beautiful Sabbath that you've given us today. And we remember that you are the Creator. That's why we come each week on the Sabbath day, because you blessed it and hallowed it as a symbol to each one of us that you are the Creator of the universe. And we come before your throne this morning asking for your mercies on each one of us. We thank you for Jesus, who came to this world, became one of us. He knows what we go through. He cares for each and every one of us. And Lord, for some of us, this has been a bad week. Some of us are hurting. Some of us may be physically hurt. Others may be spiritually hurt, emotionally hurt, Lord. I ask now that you touch each one with your healing hand. That you come close to them. Give them peace. Give them strength. Let them know that you are there beside them. Be with us as we go from here after the service, that we will be a blessing to those that we come in contact with. We thank you for your angels that surround us and protect us each and every day, for your Holy Spirit that speaks to our hearts, and we want that now. In Jesus' name we pray, and your will be done. Amen.
So nice to be here on this Sabbath with you, seeing all of you. Happy New Year to those who I haven't greeted personally yet. It's still the start of the new year. It's my first sermon of this year in this church. And I was talking to Hugh back there, and I was thinking, goodness, I'm still nervous. It looks like it never goes away. And I've been preaching each month in this church for a little over a year now, and I'm still nervous. So, yeah, it never goes away. In fact, my first sermon in this church was my second sermon in English ever. And I still remember the first time I preached in English, I had 2 pages or 3 pages, I don't remember, but I had 3 pages and I read through the whole thing. And I went, that's how I preach. So when I came here and I preached, I was preaching out of my heart. I wasn't reading as much. So I felt a little bit more accomplished, and I owe that to my wife. She is always correcting my English. Do you have? If you see her, you know, with a note and a pen, writing some things down, she's noticing my mistakes. And then when we go home, she's, yeah, you have to change this and this. And I was like, okay, it's helping. So, I love you, love. Well, believe it or not, the sermon for today. I picked this sermon last month. Right after I finished my other sermon, I prayed and I asked, well, God, what's next? What should I prepare for next time I'm preaching here? And it came to my mind to preach about Jacob when he was wrestling. And if you don't know, I'm going to give you the key of how I prepare my sermons for this church, because I have to preach each month. I try to switch between the Old Testament and the New Testament. If you remember last sermon in December, it was on the New Testament. So I'm going back to the Old Testament with Jacob. That's how I try to keep a balance, so I don't fall into preaching about just a book of the Bible all the time. And so there's always something different and something different to look at from the Bible. Today's sermon is, the title is Hold On To Him. And knowing what the church is going through and what some members are going through right now, I look back and say, God, you're perfect. Like, your plans are so perfect, because this, to me, right now, is what we need today. Or is what some of us might need today. And it was picked out last month. I didn't know what the church was going to be going through today, during this week. But to me, it kind of like fits perfectly. Hold on to Him is the title of the sermon today. And it's, we're going to look at lessons from Jacob's wrestling story with God, when he was wrestling with God. But first, something I did last time I preached, if you remember, we grabbed our Bibles. Do you have your Bible with you before we open our Bible? Let's do this before we pray and open our Bible. So grab your Bible, if it's your Bible or your phone or your tablet or whatever you have with you. And then repeat after me, but repeat it as if you believe it. This is my Bible. Well, you can do better than that. Come on. This is my Bible. I am everything it says I am. I have everything it says I have. And I can do everything it says I can do. Amen. Do you believe that? Before we open the Bible, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this Sabbath, for this beautiful opportunity that we have to come here to worship you and open your word. Please be with us as we study, and send your Holy Spirit to be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we fall into the story, let's go to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And see something interesting that we can find in here. You can see on the slide, might be easy or hard to read, depending on your side. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith unto his grace, in which we now stand. And we boast into the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And hope does not put us up to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Last year, we started out the year praying for the Holy Spirit. Who remembers that? We went through a series of sermons where we were praying for the Holy Spirit. I believe we have received the Holy Spirit. Amen? This church, Valley View Church, has the Holy Spirit because we believe that when the Bible says that when we pray for something, we will receive. We pray for the Holy Spirit. We went through different sections in our triads and in different studies. And we pray for the Holy Spirit. So I believe we got the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if you remember, in one of the sermons, we heard that when the Christian kneels and prays and asks for the Holy Spirit, when the church prays and receives the Holy Spirit, then the battle starts, because Satan see that he's being threatened. And he starts attacking and attacking and attacking. That proves to me that we have the Holy Spirit. Last part of the verse. And I'm going to go from the last part to the first. Notice how verse 3 says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. How can we glory in our sufferings? How can we rejoice? How can we be happy when we are suffering? Is that even possible? Yes, because the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that we have received, bring joy into our lives, bring happiness into our lives. And then when we have the Holy Spirit and we have the joy of the Lord and we have the happiness of the Lord and we have that power that it's been given to us, and Satan starts attacking us through different things, that joy that comes from the Lord, it's bigger than anything we may be going through in our lives. We have to rejoice in our tribulations, in our sufferings. Paul is the most indicated person to talk about this. The one who preached the gospel, the one who was chosen by God. God appeared to him when he was on his way to kill Christians. And God transformed his life. He became a different person. And he started preaching then now for Jesus. But it wasn't easy for him. He went to jail. He was punished. He went through suffering. And he is the one, the most indicated one in the Bible to write about this. We have to rejoice. We have to be happy in our suffering because of what? What does the verse say? That suffering, when we rejoice, produces perseverance. And this word, perseverance, is one of the key words for today's sermon. We have to persevere. We have prayed for the Holy Spirit. We have studied the Bible. We have come together as a church. We have divided into triads. We have come to grow groups, different grow groups. We have come together as a church, people of God. And we have received a gift. And now there's a battle, and Satan is attacking. We have to be happy. We have to be a happy church. The joy of the Lord. And by that, I don't mean that you have to sit down or you're suffering because whatever you're going through and you're going to be sitting down there with a smile. That's not the type of happiness I mean. I mean, the joy of the Lord. You're talking, you're grieving. You're going through some two hard times in your life. And you're talking to someone else. That person can see that you have the joy of the Lord. Even though you're crying in that moment. But what you express with your words and your testimony lets them know that you believe in a God that gives happiness and gives joy. That is the God that we serve. So that suffering produces perseverance. Because while we are being attacked by the enemy and attacked by the enemy and receiving all of his attacks, we have to persevere in the Lord. We have to stand and be firm. And we have to be ready. For this battle, what this verse is telling us, and let's go to the next slide and then we'll come back. For this war, we need peace. And how, it's not even possible. How can you be in peace in the middle of the war? It may not make sense for the world out there, but for us, it makes perfect sense. In the middle of this war where we are, Jesus brings peace into our heart. In the middle of all Satan's attacks, Jesus brings not only happiness, but he also brings peace to our heart. And so, they said, we need to know on which side we are, on the battle, on the war. Who are we fighting for? Because we could very well be fighting, just like Jacob, we could be wrestling with God. And we could be stopping God from blessing us. Because it's true, we need, as Christians, we need to be fighting. We need to be fighting against Satan. And we need to be on that battle, spiritual battle that we are right now. We need to be praying. We need to be studying the Bible. And that's the most important one. But sometimes we forget that we need to let God fight for us, and then we start fighting against God. We need to know on which side we are on this battle. And number three, we need to be ready. We need to keep studying the Bible. We need to keep praying. We need to keep going out there, telling the world about Jesus, telling them that we can receive peace and happiness and joy when we come to this side of the battle, when we let God fight for us. And so let's go back. Verse 1 on this verse. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the middle of the battle, in the middle of the war, in the middle of the trial, doesn't matter what we're going through. We have peace with God. Amen? We have been reconciled with God through Jesus Christ. And there's nothing more important for us on this earth than knowing that ourselves, we are connected to God. We are reconciled with Him. Jesus brought us and put us in front of God saying, okay, this is your child. He doesn't deserve salvation, but I died for him. My blood is covering him. So I present it to you so you can accept him. That is what Jesus does for us. He brings peace to all souls because our sins are forgiven. We don't have to worry about it. We just need to come to God, repent it, confess our sins, ask for forgiveness, and immediately we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And it says there, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. We're standing in the grace of God, and that access we say we gained through Jesus, through his death on the cross. And then Paul says, and not only that, but our suffering, God doesn't promise that we won't suffer. When we come to the Christian life, the Bible doesn't say, oh, the Christian life is the most beautiful one, you know? It's just all flowers and butterflies all along the way until you get to heaven. The Bible doesn't say that. We need to bear the cross. And we might suffer. And we might go through trials. But the promise is that this suffering will bring us perseverance and character and hope. And hope in what? In what we will receive later. What we will receive later when we go to heaven, when there's no more sin, is going to be greater than whatever we're going through right now. So that hope that we have in the future, that Jesus will come someday and will take us to heaven, is going to produce that joy and that happiness in our heart, and it will take us to heaven. Doesn't matter what we're going through. That joy and that happiness is in our heart. And that hope is the one that produces all of the above. When we accept Jesus Christ and we have the hope that we're going to heaven, doesn't matter what's going on, this is just part of the trip. It's going to go away someday. We need peace. We need to know which side we are on this war. And we need to be ready. But going back to our key word for this sermon, which was what? Perseverance. We have to persevere. We have to keep fighting. We have to keep fighting all the time. See how God works. Last week, I was sitting on the table with Robin and Mike on the same table. And she was telling me about the story of this lady. Amazing story. And when I went back to my sermon, I was like, goodness, this goes perfect with my sermon. What is God telling me? God is telling me to put this on my sermon. Her name is Lillian Allen. If you have heard the story before, you know what happened with her. But if you don't, then I need to tell you. Lillian Allen was a Russian lady in the late 1920s. She moved to New York. And after living for a while there, she didn't get used to the New York life. She felt alone. She didn't fit in the box, and then she said, I'm going back to my country. I'm going back to Russia. So she got a job. She started working. And after 2 years working and saving her money to go back to her country, she realized she didn't have enough. Not even for the first part of the trip. So she decided that she was going home walking. to Russia. After she decided she quit her job and said, okay, this is not going to work, so I need to go home and I'm going to walk. She packed a handful of possessions, she packed her stuff, and started walking. From New York, she went north and went through Canada, and then from Canada, she went from east to west, and then when she got west, she went up to Alaska, and that was her trip, on foot, walking all the way. According to the article that I was reading where I found her story, she hiked on places where experienced hikers had trouble hiking. And she just passed through because she had a goal. She was walking home. And she needed to get home. And nothing was going to stop her. It's really funny that someone stopped and saw her. And otherwise, she was all wearing her garment and everything that she was carrying. And it was quiet, you know, and called the attention. And they asked her, what are you doing? And the only thing she said, I go to Siberia. She was walking home. While she was walking, that person that offered her a ride, that person offered a ride and said, I can take you, I can give you a ride. No, I'm walking home. I'm going to Siberia. She didn't accept the ride she was being offered. She was determined to go home by foot. That person who offered her the ride, you know, knowing and seeing her that she was, you know, getting skinny and weak, and you know, he was worrying about her, and made a report to the police, and she was arrested. She went to jail. And the judge said, no, you're not going out. You're going to stay in jail. And she stayed in jail for a while until they saw that she, you know, gained some weight and was, you know, a little bit more healthy. And then they didn't have anything to retain her in jail and release her. And after they released her, what do you think she did? She kept walking home. Perseverance. She was determined to get home. On the trip, the last thing they know is she made a boat and went paddling through the Yukon River until she got to Western British Columbia, and then from there to Alaska. She left her boat there. And that was the last thing that was heard about her trip. But the person who wrote the article, I'm going to read it, says, no one can say with certainty that the woman of this story was Lillian Allen. There was another woman who was supposedly made at home. But to think that Lillian Allen had spent years walking in chase of her goal and only to perish so close to the end seems impossible. Only about 50 miles of the strain of bearing was separating her from home. And Allen had proven herself to be resourceful and stubborn enough beyond belief. Having come so far, the mist of the bearing and its dangerous waters seem inconsequential for her. For what little we truly know about Allen, one thing is certainly, she would do anything to get home. The question is, what are you willing to do to go home? What are you willing to do to go to heaven? Probably don't have money, you don't have a way of transportation, figuratively talking, because you don't use that to go to heaven, but probably think that you don't have what you need to go to heaven. The only thing we need is to accept Jesus Christ and to keep fighting, to be perseverant, until we reach our goal. Satan is trying to discourage us. How is he trying to do that? Through everything. You can see the church is suffering right now. We're losing our relatives. We're having problems with school, with families, marriage. It's all type of problems. Satan is just attacking us. trying to discourage us. And that is his most powerful weapon. The moment we get discouraged and we see, and we look at our problem and we see our problem is too big right now. My problem is too big. I'm not going to church because I'm going through whatever Satan won. Because you're already discouraged. And that is what he's using so he can win the battle. So we need to really understand this battle, we have to keep fighting. We have to keep wrestling with God. We need to keep coming to church, being part active on the activities of the church, grow groups, triads, whatever is going out there. Let's come together. Let's keep studying the Bible and praying for ourselves. Because when we do that, Satan is not even close to win the battle. Let us not be discouraged. Because God is with us. Some other ways that Satan uses to discourage us, he uses our environment. And then from the spirit of prophecy, we heard that we have to be careful with what we watch, what we hear or listen to, what we speak, and what we touch, and places we go or places we don't go. Sometimes when we're supposed to go. We must guard the avenues of the soul. We have a work to do to resist temptation. Those who would not fall a prey to Satan's devices must guard well the avenues of the soul. They must avoid reading, seeing, or hearing that which will suggest impure thoughts. The mind should not be left to wander at random upon every subject that the adversary of the souls may suggest. And we may say, okay, I'm not going through any problem in my family. Personally, I am good with God right now. I'm really good. So I don't need to be careful. We really need to guard the avenues of our soul as well. Because once Satan has one of those, it's really easy for him to discourage us. Because at some point, we're going to start liking something more than coming to church. Oh, there's a TV show that I like watching, and I'm just going to stay home watching my TV show when I'm supposed to be going to church, for example. Oh, there's something else going on. I need to go to do that instead of going on. You know, the church is going this afternoon to the community to deliver pamphlets for a certain activity, whatever. Sometimes we give priority to things that are not really important. And then through that, Satan may gain access to our souls. So we need to guard the avenues of the soul. We need to keep fighting and wrestling, just as Jacob did. And then, since we've been mentioning, let's open our Bibles again and let's go to Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 32. It's our 10 verses that we're going to read this morning. And let's read. The Bible says, that night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions with them. So Jacob was left alone behind. And the men wrestled with him till daybreak. When the men saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip. So that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the men. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" And Jacob answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." And Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. Interesting story. It's not just Jacob wrestling with God until he wins, but there's a lot more to this story that we can learn. Oh, I didn't pass the slide. Oh, yes. There's much more to this story that we can learn of. If we go to Hosea chapter 12, verse 4, we're going to find something important that this prophet wrote about this fight. So let's go to Hosea chapter 12. Verse 4. And he's talking about Jacob. He says, "Yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought favor from him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us." What we see here is that Jacob wasn't only physically fighting with the angel in that moment. Something was going on with Jacob at this moment. Number one, we can notice that his name was changed on this event. And the meaning of your name in the Bible is pretty strong. When you get a name, when you get a new name, it means that your character has changed. Jacob had changed in this moment. He recognized he was struggling, and the reason we say that it wasn't just a physical fight is because he was struggling in himself with his whole life. Since at the moment of his birth, his brother was supposed to get the blessing. But throughout his life, while he was growing up, he got all the blessings of his brother because he did what he needed to do in order to be blessed. And it seems that sometimes we are just like Jacob. We want to be blessed, and we want to reach our goal, and we're being, perseverance, the word for today. And we keep fighting and fighting, and sometimes we do the wrong thing. We go the wrong way to get what we need, just as Jacob did. And at this moment, he's thinking to himself, to himself, and he's looking back. "I've done so much wrong in my life, and I am repentant." As he was fighting with the angel, it wasn't just a physical fight. I'm going to win and I'm going to defeat you. It was this spiritual fight inside himself. "I need to be blessed." When he realized after hours of fighting that he wasn't going to win because this guy was strong, he realized he wasn't fighting with a man. It was an angel. It was God. "Okay, I'm fighting with God. I'm going to keep fighting with you until you bless me." And at the end, he was blessed. But watch out. Remember on the slide, we need to be careful on which side are we standing. Because it's true. We need to be perseverant, and we need to fight with God until we get his blessing. But let's not fight God to the point that we make it impossible for him to bless us. Just what Jacob was doing all his life before this event. God wanted to bless him. God chose him for his purpose, to bring his people, to bring Jesus through his family. But he wanted to do it his way. Sometime in the fight, we want to do things our way. But God tells us, no. You need to surrender right now. We need to surrender before God so he can bless us. And we need to keep asking for his blessings until he blesses us. I want to tell you a story of something that happened to me. It's called the broken string. As you know, I play the cello, even though I haven't played in a long time in this church, but I do. When I went to college, I was kind of like full-time musician, and then I went to, I wanted to do theology, which requires full-time. And the dean sat down with me at the office, and he told me, you need to make a choice. You are either a musician or you're a pastor or a theology student. And I told him, well, I can't stop being a musician because that is how I pay for my school. So I'm sorry. I there's no way I can stop being a musician. And I know it's crazy because both of them requires full time, and I'm just determined to do it. Perseverance. That term, I had a class with the dean, and he was being pretty hard on me because he knew that I didn't want to quit music, and that was affecting my grades somehow. I tried to be a good student, but I was mostly A's and B's, but every now and then I would get a C, especially on his class. And then he was like, you need to quit music. I was like, I'm not quitting music. I need to keep playing because this is how I'm helping myself to pay my classes. So I was getting ready to go to the conservatory in my country, which was in the capital, 2 hours away from the orphanage and the university where I was studying. And I had to travel twice per week, leaving 5 a.m. to get there at 7, and I had classes at 7:30. Plus, I needed to practice 6 hours daily. And the reason I needed to do that is because in order to get accepted into the conservatory, you needed to be, like, really, really good. And I am not good at all. But I needed to practice in order to get accepted to it. Plus, I needed to study because yay, big book of all the, all the theories of music and stuff that I needed to take that test as well. Well, I've been studying for that whole quarter of class, and it's been really rough with my classes and then with music and everything going on. I didn't feel prepared, but I pray and I say, God, I've been studying this piece and I've been, getting ready for my music test, and you know that I need this. I put this in your hand right now. I woke up that Friday, I still remember, and Tio Mario, which is, he's the husband of the principal of the orphanage, he went to pick me up. We're on the road. I get there. I am warming up, 7:15. My A string, puck, broke. Oh, goodness. 2 big tears down my eyes. I was crying. And my teacher was there telling me, you know what? I'm going to try to fix. I have never done this, bro. I'm going to try to fix the A string. So luckily, the A string broke at the very bottom before the bridge. So he fixed the string, and he managed to tune it again, and it was working. It wasn't the best sound. Sound like a really old cello, really bad. But I needed to play. There wasn't a string store open within miles of where I was, and my test was at 7:30, it was 7:15 by now. I was just nervous and praying. I was, God, if this is, I don't know, I'll just put this in your hand. So I finished praying, I grabbed my cello, I thanked the teacher for fixing the A string, otherwise I'll have been able to take the test that day. And I went and I played, Vivaldi, E minor, sonata in E minor. Barbara knows that one. When I finished playing, the jury looked at me, and they were all amazed. And I was, oh, goodness, that was really bad. They look at me, and they were like, how many years have you been playing cello? And I said, 4. And who was your teacher? And Mr. Frank. You've been studying with Frank? Frank is a violin teacher, and he was planning to teach me cello. That was, he didn't have boundaries. You wanted to learn something, he will teach you. So he taught me cello, and I said, you learned cello with a violin teacher, and you played that well? And I was like, I noticed a couple of mistakes. I don't know if they noticed it. They gave me the highest grade. And I went back, and I said, God, it's not possible. My string was broken. Everything was going down. I noticed my mistakes. I know I failed once or twice in there. And they still gave me a perfect. It was probably his angels who played for me or put something on their ear so they couldn't listen to me or something. Something happening. But God blessed me that morning. And I can see the importance of perseverance. Closing thoughts. Number one, God doesn't promise we won't have tribulations, but he tells us that Christian faith could use tribulation for the perfection of our character. We've been called to be Christians. We've been called to walk this road. It is not promised in the Bible that things are going to be perfect, but those trials God can use for the perfection of our character that we need to go to heaven. Another thought, Christians who long to be like Christ will rejoice in the trials and suffering God may permit to come upon them, knowing that through these experiences, God will gain more of the divine patience of Christ and therefore be able to endure until the end. What we learned today from Romans, that suffering causes perseverance. And perseverance, what? Perfection of character, experience. That is calling to the character of Christ. When Paul says that perseverance is going to cast on us, that we have a perfect character, is because our character is going to be like Christ. So through our trials, God can work that in us. That divine patience that was in Christ when he was dying, when he was being carried to the cross, in there, God was perfecting his character, and he can do that with us as well. Every fight leaves its scars. Like Jacob, every faithful believer in passing through its own pineal experience may expect to bear some reminder of the battle. In our battles, there might be things that mark our lives. We can lose our relatives. We can see things broken. We can struggle. And we can be seriously marked in our character. And those scars are going to be there. Those are going to be a reminder of the battle, of what we went through when we were here, once we get to heaven. And something even more important. Even Jesus bears the signs of the conflict through which he passed while he was here on earth. And these he will bear for all eternity. Ours will vanish and be forgotten. When the Bible says that our tears will be wiped out, God is going to delete all type of suffering. And you will no longer suffer. But those scars of Jesus when he was nailed to the cross, he will retain forever. That death when Jesus died on the cross, that all the sin of humanity dying for you and dying for me, never going away. Jesus still will remember that. He will bear all those signs, all those scars for all the eternity. All because he loves you and because he loves me. I'm going to ask the deacons to pass out the connect cards now. And in there, we're going to see three statements that not only just feel them to, because it's part of the sermon, or because we do this, but think about them. Think how God can bless you. How's your fight going? How's your war going right now? What are you doing? Are you clear on which side you're standing this morning? What did you do last week that tells you that you are fighting with God? Or what did you do last week that tells you, well, I'm fighting against God and then I'm stopping him from blessing me? God wants to bless us. So let's look, let's examine our life. Let's see how is God working through us. Are we allowing God to fight for us, or are we fighting against him? If you look at the statements, number one, if you have your card already, says, I won't give up because God is fighting for me. Doesn't matter what we're going through, we have to be sure that God is fighting for us. And we've seen it this morning. And we've seen how Jacob was in the fight and God blessed him. God is fighting for us, our battle. Number two, I will trust God and fight with him even when I can't understand the situation. Sometimes we just don't know. And then I still, in my life, and I will go back to my testimony, if you have heard my testimony time and time, there are things that I don't understand why they happen. There are others that I look back and I can see, oh, wow, that fit perfectly there. Yeah, that's why God allowed this to happen. But there are other things that I don't understand. I don't know why they happen. But I'm pretty sure that suffering, that trial, that struggle, God used for the perfection of my character that I need to go to heaven. I don't understand, but God is still blessing me through that. And number three, I want to pray and study the Bible every day to find encouragement in the middle of my trials, in the middle of my struggle and my promise. Please leave this on the offering basket, and God bless you all, church. All right, the deacons, please stand.